Hello and welcome to Armchair Detectives Wanted. This is our special interest week. Episode 19. A victory for science. Is the conviction safe? Or is it a miscarriage of justice? We researched this case a little while ago, and there has been a recent significant update which we will cover at the end of the podcast. Before we start, I will just issue a warning. This podcast may include content that some could find upsetting. It may also contain offensive language. As with all these cases, they are real life events, so please be aware that the crimes have had an impact on the family and friends of the victim. This is a really interesting case, but one that is also extremely sad for all concerned. The case in question is that of Kathleen Megan Folbig, who is serving a custodial sentence of 30 years for the murder of three of her children and the manslaughter of her first child. She was originally sentenced to 40 years, but this was reduced to 30 on appeal. Kathleen has always maintained her innocence and continues to fight for her release. She is not due to be considered for parole until 2028. Kathleen was born on the 14th of June 1967 in Australia. Her life didn't get off to the best start. On the 8th of January 1969, her father, Thomas John Britton, murdered her mother, Kathleen May Donovan. It was a savage attack. He stabbed his wife 24 times. At the time, Kathleen was just 18 months old. She had lost her mother to a gruesome crime, and her father served 15 years in prison before being extradited to the UK. Kathleen was made a ward of state and placed in foster care. In 1970, she was placed in a children's home for a couple of months before she was placed permanently with a family. She remained with this family while completing her schooling and into her young adult life. At the age of 20, in 1987, she married Craig Gibson Folbig. The couple had four children, Caleb Gibson, Patrick Allen, Sarah Kathleen, and Laura Elizabeth. These are the children which are the focus of this case. Caleb Gibson was born on the 1st of February, 1989. Be aware, this case relies heavily on the medical evidence and the opinions of experts. It is important to have a basic understanding of the medical terms that are referenced in this tragic investigation. Caleb was a healthy child, but was diagnosed with laryngeal malacia, literally soft larynx. It's the most common cause of chronic stridor in infancy. I will explain stridor shortly. This is where the soft, immature cartilage of the upper larynx collapses inward during inhalation, causing airway obstruction. Laryngomalacia is one of the most common laryngeal congenital diseases in infancy. Although it is not associated with a specific gene, there is evidence that some cases may be inherited. It is often worse when the infant is on his back because the floppy tissues can fall over the airway opening more easily in this position. Most of the cases resolve spontaneously, and fewer than 15% of the cases will need surgical intervention. Stridor, Latin for creaking or grating noise, is a high-pitched extrathoracic breath sound resulting from turbulent airflow in the larynx or lower in the bronchial tree. Stridor is a physical sound which is caused by a narrowed or obstructed airway. It can be inspiratory and expiratory. Although it usually heard during inspiration, it may be indicative of serious airway obstruction. Although a common issue, you can see that Caleb was born with a condition that could impact on his breathing. On the night before his death, he was placed in his cot. Kathleen and her husband slept in an adjoining bedroom. Caleb stirred during the early hours, as babies do. As Kathleen made her way into his room to console him, she found that Caleb was deceased in his cot. The cause of death was attributed to cot death, or sudden infant death syndrome. Their second child, Patrick Allen, was born on the 3rd of June 1990. Kathleen's husband, Craig, took 3 months' leave from work to help care for the child. He recalls how, on the 18th of October, Kathleen had put Patrick to bed. Craig, then later that evening, remembers Kathleen screaming. Kathleen was standing by the side of the cot. Craig noticed the child was not breathing. He performed CPR on the child until the ambulance arrived. Patrick was taken to the hospital. He was diagnosed with epilepsy and cortical blindness. Cortical blindness is the total or partial loss of vision in a normal appearing eye. Cortical blindness can be acquired or congenital. Acquired cortical blindness is most often caused by loss of blood flow to the occipital cortex. This life-threatening event for Patrick would remain unexplained. He died 4 months later from seizures. Craig recollects the call he received from Kathleen stating, "It's happened again." A post-mortem revealed Patrick's cause of death was an acute asphyxiating event resulting from an epileptic fit. Following Patrick's death, the Folbigs moved to Thornton, a town northwest of Newcastle.
Their third child, Sarah Kathleen, was born on the 14th of October, 1992. All records appear to show the child was fit and healthy. In 1993, the child caught a cold and was having trouble sleeping. One night, Craig was woken by his wife's screams. Kathleen was standing in the doorway of the bedroom and had found the child motionless. She later died on the 29th of August, 1993. Sarah was just 10 months old at the time of her death. Her death was attributed to sudden infant death syndrome. And after the death of Sarah, the pair moved again, this time to Singleton in Hunter Valley near Newcastle. The fourth child, Laura Elizabeth, was born on the 7th of August 1997. She died on the 27th of February 1999 at just 19 months old. At birth, Laura appeared fit and well and was monitored more closely due to her siblings' early deaths. Everything was well until Laura caught a cold, just like her younger sister Sarah. The child was given prescribed medication. However, an ambulance was called on the 27th of February. When the paramedics arrived at the home, they found Kathleen giving her daughter CPR on the kitchen table. Unfortunately, Laura was already deceased. A post-mortem examination was arranged, and on this occasion, the coroner decided the child was too old to be a victim of sudden infant death syndrome, and the coroner ordered a police investigation. The case was allocated to Detective Sergeant Bernard Ryan. He interviewed both Kathleen and Craig, which highlighted the fact this was now the fourth child belonging to the couple that had died under similar circumstances. The death of the fourth child had an impact on their already failing marriage, and Kathleen left the home abruptly. It was while clearing up that Craig found diaries belonging to Kathleen. As he read the diaries, he became horrified and immediately gave them to the police. These were some of the entries that Kathleen wrote in her diaries. They were of great significance to the prosecution team. The lawyers stated they showed Kathleen's fragile state of mind at the time. Kathleen wrote of her daughter Laura, "She's a fairly good-natured baby, thank goodness. It has saved her from the fate of her siblings. I think she was warned." In another entry, Kathleen wrote, "I feel like the worst mother on this earth. Scared she'll leave me now like Sarah did. I know I was short-tempered and cruel to her sometimes, and she left, with a bit of help." And in another entry, while pregnant with her daughter Laura, Kathleen wrote, "This time, I am going to call for help. This time, I will not attempt to do everything myself anymore. I know that was one of the main reasons for all my stress before, and stress made me do terrible things." Within the diaries, Kathleen also referenced her father, who killed her biological mother in 1969. "I am my father's daughter," she wrote. When asked about the diary entries, Kathleen explained her diaries were written from a point of me always blaming myself. I blame myself for everything. It's just, I took so much of the responsibility, because that, as mothers, what you do. Kathleen explained the quote, she left with a bit of help, reference to God or some higher power. She also spoke about her state of mind with her fourth child, Laura, when she was born. Kathleen stated, I was so stressed and so scared and so feeling vulnerable and so not understanding and so not just dealing or coping with the whole concept that we might be doing this again. So I started writing in those diaries. There was a desperation throughout the diaries, if anyone bothered to read the actual whole series. They're full of nothing but pain, angst, torture, trying to figure out things, understand the ununderstandable. Thinking I've lost these three. Why have I lost these three? Laura has to say, and I was so desperate to grasp anything. So there were a few comments in there that probably didn't make any sense whatsoever. Kathleen was charged of the murder of her four children. The trial lasted for 7 weeks. The prosecution's case was that Kathleen smothered the four children during her periods of frustration and inability to cope.
They also relied on Meadows' Law. He is an English professor. His evidence was also used in two British cases, those of Sally Clark and Angela Cannings. Both were convicted of murder on the evidence of Professor Meadows, who stated that it was one in a 73 million chance that a family could be the victim of two cot deaths. His medical evidence suggested that it was so unlikely to be impossible that a family would suffer numerous cot deaths. The prosecution also placed great emphasis on the diary entries that Kathleen made, stating it was circumstantial evidence of her guilt. The defence stated they did not believe Kathleen or Craig had killed their children. They highlighted that she was a caring mother, and in fact witnesses came forward who said this was the case. The defence argued that in full context the diaries showed that she cared for her children. It was confirmed that Folbig categorically denied harming her children, and the diaries provided no direct evidence of any harm. They confirmed that on a police and ambulance arrival, Kathleen always appeared genuinely upset and concerned. There wasn't any direct evidence that linked Kathleen to causing any harm to her children. The lawyers for Kathleen reiterated that the evidence was purely circumstantial. On the 21st of May 2003, Folbig was found guilty of the murder of Patrick, Sarah and Laura, along with the manslaughter of Caleb. Kathleen was sentenced to 40 years in prison, which was later reduced to 30 on appeal in 2005. Throughout her time in custody, Kathleen has maintained her innocence. In August 2018, an appeal was raised questioning the medical evidence of Professor Meadows that supported the fact that it was near impossible that a family would suffer two or more sudden infant deaths. It is at this point that we need to examine the evidence provided by Professor Roy Meadows. His evidence was also used in the convictions for murder of Sally Clark and Angela Cannings in the UK. Sally Clark was convicted over the death of her two children. The first died in 1996 when just a few days old. The second died in 1998 in similar circumstances. The defence argued that the children had died from sudden infant death syndrome, while the prosecution relied on the evidence of paediatrician Sir Roy Meadows. He stated that a family suffering two child deaths from sudden infant death syndrome was 1 in 73 million. This evidence swayed the jury and they convicted Sally of the murder of her two children.
It became clear the statistical evidence presented at Clark's trial was seriously flawed. The first trial was widely criticised for the misrepresentation of statistical evidence, particularly by Meadow. He stated in evidence as an expert witness that one sudden infant death in a family is a tragedy, two is suspicious, and three is a murder unless proven otherwise, which he referred to as Meadow's Law. He claimed that for an affluent, non-smoking family like the Clarks, the probability of a single cot death was 1 in 8,543. So the probability of two in the same family was around 1 in 73 million. Given that there are around 700,000 births in Britain each year, Meadow argued that a double cot death would be expected to occur once every 100 years. In October 2001, the British Royal Statistical Society issued a public statement expressing its concern at the misuse of statistics in the courts. It noted there was no statistical basis for the 1 in 73 million figure which Meadow used. In January 2002, the Royal Statistical Society wrote to the Lord Chancellor, pointing out that the calculation leading to 1 in 73 million is false. As a result of Meadow being discredited, he was struck off the General Medical Council register for a period of 3 years. However, he was reinstated after that period expired. The convictions against Sally Clark and Angela Cannons in the UK were quashed as unsafe convictions, and both were released. Questions began to be asked about the conviction of Kathleen. Was this safe? Eventually, more than 90 eminent persons, including respected scientists, would sign a document which said, "No reasonable person could accept she was guilty if presented with the facts." The document rejected the findings of Folbig's trial and scoffed at the Crown prosecutor Mark Tedeschi's case, saying circumstantial evidence wasn't a proper argument. I must point out, circumstantial evidence cases are a legitimate and legal part of the Australian criminal justice system. The petition claims a genetic mutation was found in Sarah and Laura's DNA, which was inherited from their mother Kathleen, and this is known to cause sudden infant death arrests in infants. A variant of the gene predicted to cause lethal cardiac arrhythmias was found in both Miss Folbig and her two daughters. According to researchers, this variant could raise serious doubts around Miss Folbig's conviction. It was also found Caleb and Patrick carried another rare mutation known to cause early onset lethal epilepsy in mice when deleted. While further research is required, it does highlight that a single unifying cause of death in the four children is not needed to explain the deaths. As new evidence was introduced, a special inquiry was set up in 2019, presided over by former New South Wales District Court Judge Reginald Blanche. At the conclusion of the inquiry, Judge Blanche found significant investigations had failed to find a reasonable, natural explanation for any of the Folbig's children's deaths. He instead concluded that Folbig's explanations before the inquiry made her guilt of these offences even more certain.
Armchair Detective Wanted Team. This is the case for a guilty verdict. Four children died at young ages. Kathleen appears to be the one that is always present when the children are found in a distressed or deceased state. The diaries that Kathleen kept appear to show her desperate state of mind. She states, "I am my father's daughter," referring to the fact that her father was convicted of murder. She writes, "I feel like the worst mother on this earth. Scared she'll leave me now, like Sarah did. I knew I was short-tempered and cruel sometimes to her, and she left, with a bit of help." The circumstantial evidence seems to link Kathleen to the deaths of her children. Coroner is not satisfied that the death of the fourth child was the result of sudden infant death syndrome. What are the possibilities that four child deaths will occur in one family?
And here is the case for an innocent verdict. Kathleen denies the offences. Even after her time in custody, she still maintains her innocence. There are no direct witnesses to Kathleen causing harm to any of the children, and no evidence of any injuries to the children, including no evidence of smothering. The coroner for the first three children stated sudden infant death syndrome as the cause of death. Witnesses state Kathleen cared for her children. She appeared genuinely upset when either the ambulance staff or police arrived. Mr. Folbig did not raise any issues with his wife about how she cared for their children. The diaries do not provide any evidence of harm caused to the children by Kathleen, and the diaries are only circumstantial evidence. It was found that Kathleen carries a mutated gene variant which is predicted to cause lethal cardiac arrhythmias, and this is likely the cause of the death of her two daughters. Caleb and Patrick appear to have another gene defect that may have impacted on their health. Caleb is also known to have been diagnosed with a breathing problem, and Patrick died at 8 months old from airway obstruction due to his epileptic seizures. Now, it's over to you. Is the conviction safe, or is this a tragic miscarriage of justice? We know that Folbig has received a pardon and has been released from custody. She now awaits her murder convictions to be quashed. What do you think? Please visit our Facebook page, Armchair Detectives Wanted, where you will be able to discuss your theories and views with other members. And don't forget to go to www.armchairdetectiveswanted.com, where you will find photos and further information about the case. We would just like to point out that this case was researched and recorded prior to Kathleen being released from prison. Her convictions have since been quashed by the Court of Appeal. However, this is a very interesting yet sad case for all those involved.
Week 19 of our scenario. Two witnesses now come forward to say they were aware that the deceased Ann Smith were having an affair. The deceased had told them that Smith had become angry, as she had intimated she may tell his wife. A. Would you approach Smith's wife for a statement? B. Discount her at this stage, as it may cause undue problems. C. Only obtain a statement from her if Smith is charged. D. Obtain statements from the two witnesses. E. Don't obtain statements, as they are not relevant at this stage. Thank you for listening to Armchair Detectives Wanted. You are one of the team. Remember, don't just listen, be involved. We really would appreciate you recommending our podcast to others. We look forward to you joining us next week for episode 20, just $2 more.